I can't actually believe that it's 6 years since we had that first dialogue. You know, the time really does fly by. So Sarah came up with this idea of something a little different today, since we've just completed the High Holy Days. We, by the way, are still in the holiday season. We have Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year. 10 days later, we have Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. So we've passed those. 5 days after that, we have the beginning of the Festival of Sukkot, which is a Festival of Tabernacles. It's a fall harvest festival, and that lasts for a whole week. My wife, some of you met her last night, and you could tell even if you didn't talk to her just by looking that she's definitely kind of edgy. And so she maintains that this is absolute proof that God is not a woman. Because, she says, no woman would create a calendar that looks like that. One holiday on top of the other. But anyway, we've just completed the High Holy Days, which is a very serious time. We're now entering into a joyous period, so I'm kind of in between. But I wanted to share a little of the High Holy Days with you in terms of basically the worship format. And when we enter the synagogue, the first prayer is called Matovu, and you see that we have up there, as Sarah mentioned, the Hebrew on the right. On the left is the transliteration, in other words, the Hebrew written into the letters that all of us can read. And then down below, the translation. And this is based on, we are scripturally based. So this is based on a story where the Israelites were still in the desert before entering the Promised Land. And they entered the area of the Moabites, and the king was frightened of them and wanted them cursed. And so he brought in a prophet on a payroll and paid him to curse the Israelites. The prophet, however, said, I can only speak the words that God tells me, and God was blessing the Israelites, not cursing them. And these were the words of the blessing at the very beginning. You see, it says, Matovu ohalecha Yaakov, mishkanotecha Yisrael. How goodly are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel. And when we enter our synagogues, our places of prayer, we reflect upon that. So I'll sing a little of it. Any of the stuff I'm singing, I'm encouraging you to join in. And you'll hear there are, you know, places with la-la-las and so on, so it's not going to be difficult. If you'd like to, do it. If you just want to be in the moment and feel it, it's okay too. La 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 ma tovu ohalecha Yaakov mishkenotecha Yisrael la 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 la. And whoever's handling this, if we can go to the next page. Yes. So we could actually stay here all day, because after I finish this, when Sarah and I start talking and people have questions, it could go on. Unfortunately, I'm dressed like this. I wouldn't have dressed quite this formally. As I say to people, if you see me wearing a dark suit like this, you know it's bad news for the Jews. In other words, funeral. So this afternoon I have a funeral. So that gives me a limitation. I mean, otherwise you would just serve lunch and we would just keep going. I know. Anyway, this is, I'm not going to say Sarah's part, because I can't speak fairly for the Christian position, or shall I say Christian positions, because just as when people will say, what's the Jewish view of, I will reframe it and say, you probably are asking, what are the Jewish views concerning? I think it's the same amongst Christian scholars as well. But there is a distinction between classical Jewish theology and at least what I understand of classical Christian theology, and it has to do with the same story that we read. We read the story of creation, the beginning of Genesis, and we know what happens there, but what's the conclusion? A Christian conclusion, and I will be, you know, happy to be corrected if I'm saying it wrong, is reading into that story the idea known as original sin, that there was an original sin on the part of the first person, and that somehow that stain of original sin gets passed down. Judaism reads the same story. We recognize that, yeah, people make mistakes, we all do, but the soul that comes from God comes pure. That's our starting point. And so when people come knocking on our door and asking us if we are saved, for us, it's not a matter of yes or no. It's the whole question, why would one need to be saved from being human, which is the way God created us? So this is part of our prayer. So much of our theology is embedded not only in Scripture, but in our worship as well. And so this prayer, Elohai Neshama, says, pure, my God, is the soul you gave me. You formed it, you shaped it, you breathed it into me. It came from God. It is pure. And we err, and so we put ourselves back on the right path. And that's what these High Holy Days in particular were about, focusing on where we have gone astray and how do we get back on the right path. Elohai, Elohai, neshama, neshama, shenatata bi, shenatata bi, tahorahi, tahorahi, Elohai, Elohai, neshama, neshama, shenatata bi, shenatata bi, tahorahi, tahorahi. Okay, we're ready for the next one. So this is from Psalm 145. And the opening line, Ashrei Yoshvei Betecha Od Yahalalucha Selah, happy are those who dwell in your house. They are continually praising you. This is actually a daily psalm. The psalm is an alphabetical acrostic after that. As you go through the entire psalm, you don't see it in English, but if you see it in English, in Hebrew, it follows the alphabetical order of Hebrew. Aleph, Bet, you know, that's why we say alphabet. We should really say aleph bet. Alpha, beta, the Greek comes from the Hebrew aleph bet. So we just follow the letters, and each line is a different phrase of praise to God. But since we're spending time in worship, this really applies to every group that is worshiping God, and that is how fortunate we are to be in God's house. Ashrei Yoshvei Betecha Od Yahalelucha Od Yahalelucha Ashrei Yoshvei Betecha Od Yahalelucha Od Yahalelucha. Okay, next. This is the very last psalm, Psalm 150. And many of our prayers actually come, that is the source of prayer in Scripture, is the book of Psalms, which is a collection of religious poetry. And so this is the last one, and we're going to look at the very, very, very end, in which we say, praise God with the crash of cymbals, praise God with the clash of resounding cymbals, with every quiet breath, let everything that breathes praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The English word hallelujah is actually simply the Hebrew. Hallelujah, which means praise. Yah, which is one of the names for God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Betzilzalei shama. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Betzilzalei truwa. Kol hanshama hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Kol hanshama hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, betzilzalei shama. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bitzil tzalei trua, kolan shama til hallelujah, 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 kolan shama til hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Our next one. The services that we have on the holidays are very, very long. And in our morning service, this is one of the lines that we focus on. I'm looking at the bottom paragraph, Shochen Ad, which is eternally present. I think that's the notion to focus on for all of us. And in this, we absolutely share 100%. And that is, God is ever-present. God is always here. Now, I want to say God is always with us. We don't always feel that God is with us. But if we feel that, well, is God really here? It's not that God isn't here. It's that we haven't fully opened ourselves to God's presence. And I think this line is a reminder to us, open up and feel God's presence. Shochen ad maharam v'kadosh maharam. Shochen ad maharam. V'kadosh shema, shochen ad maharam, v'kadosh shema, shochen ad maharam, v'kadosh shema. And now our next one. Now we focus, as the next one pops up, yes, we're looking again at the bottom paragraph. This is really now into the High Holy Day prayers, because this is a paragraph that we add to our year-round prayers, and it is the one that says, Zochrenu Lechayim, which means, inscribe us in the book of life, O sovereign who delights life, and remember us unto life, and now inscribe us into the book of life for your sake, O God of life. We're focusing over and over and over again on life. Somebody very kindly earlier this morning wished me a happy new year. We're into this new Jewish year. And we focus on life and a meaningful life. And there's a legend that at the beginning of the new year, the books are opened and our names are inscribed into this book of life for the new year. So here's the prayer. Zachreinu l'chaim melech hafetz b'chaim v'chadveinu b'sefer ha'ayim lemancha Elohim ha'ayim. By the way, you might know, last night several of us were wishing each other well, toasting each other. We had wine in hand. And each culture has the words that you say when you're wishing somebody well. We're familiar with, you know, cheers, for example, or salud. Okay. The Jewish word that we use, the Hebrew word, is l'chaim. L'chaim, you remember from Fiddler on the Roof, right? To life, l'chaim. Well, it means to life. And I have a theory as to why we say l'chaim, to life, when we're drinking something that's alcoholic. It's subtle, because we're saying to life, not to death. Scripture tells us that wine gladdens the human heart, but Proverbs also tells us not to become drunkards, right? So for those who drink, and not everybody should, and nobody is required to, but if you're going to drink, as the ads say, do it responsibly. We say, l'chaim, for life, enjoy life, enhance life, but be careful. You have to be careful. I have just two more. The next one, we think of the High Holy Days. This is a prayer that very much is in the forefront of our minds. It's Avinu Malkeinu. Now, Avinu Malkeinu, the translation here is not translated. It just says, look at the English side. It's all English, except the beginning of every line just says Avinu Malkeinu. Why is that? Well, Sarah is going to really appreciate this. It's something that I'm sure that your denominations have struggled with, too. And that is that so much of religious language is gender-specific and patriarchal. And we're living with that in an age when we are no longer patriarchal. And so what does Avinu Malkeinu literally mean? It literally means our father, our king. Well, in prior ages, people were very comfortable saying, you know, addressing God as our father, our king. And some people still are, but many others aren't. That's not how we relate to God. So what do we do with that? We struggle. Sometimes the prayer, if they want to translate it, will translate it as our parent, our sovereign. Okay, so that degenderizes it. But some people find that, I don't know, lacking in a poetic sense. And so the editors of this prayer book decided, let's just keep the Hebrew. But there actually is a very important theological idea here that we need to consider when we refer to God as Avinu and as Malkeinu. Avinu, our parent. God is as close to us as a loving parent. Malkeinu, the sovereign of the universe. That gives us a great sense of awe. So when we are contemplating God or addressing God, we have both of these feelings. On the one hand, a loving parent. On the other hand, the awesomeness of the creator of the universe. Philosophers, theologians, have a word, two words actually, for this to describe God, and that is, God is both immanent and transcendent. imminent, meaning very near us, like a parent, Avinu, transcendent, the sovereign of the entire universe, Malkeinu. I'm singing the last line. Avinu Malkeinu, Choneinu Vaneinu. Avinu Malkeinu, Choneinu Vaneinu. Kien banu maasim, aseh imanu, tzedakah v'chesed. Aseh imanu, tzedakah v'chesed, v'hoshiyenu. Avinu malkeinu. Choneinu va'aneinu, Avinu malkeinu, Choneinu va'aneinu, Kien banu ma'asim. And now the last one. And here it is. And this is a line from the Book of Lamentations. Some of you may have gotten an email from me over the last couple of weeks, and I added this as a tagline. I have my standard tagline, which is a statement relating to pursuing justice in the world. And then I have additional taglines that I put on at holiday seasons. And since the High Holy Days are particularly a time to return to God, I added this one. And this song, I'm actually going to sing with you in English, okay? It comes from the Hebrew phrase, but this is an English rendition and set to contemporary music. Return again, return to the land of your soul. Return again, return again, return to the land of your soul. Return to who you are, return to what you are, return to where you are born and reborn again. Return to who you are, return to what you are, return to where you are born and reborn again. Return again, return again, return to the land of your soul.